Our next speaker is Tanner Arwine, and he will be discussing the effects of mowing on annual ryegrass used as a nurse crop.
Thank you. We researched from Tarleton State University. Dr. Cummings helped us, as well as Ray Molina, in this experiment. We talked about the effects of mowing on annual ryegrass when used as a nurse crop. Also, two other things we looked at were cultivars, as well as seeding rates for these ryegrasses to see if which one competed less with the grass we were trying to establish. The problem right now is ryegrass that's being used is currently too aggressive. Its late maturity and height cause it to overcompete the perennial grasses and wildflowers that we are trying to establish on these roadsides. And over time, also, these ryegrasses will spread into neighboring properties, causing problems for farmers. Here's a prime example of a roadside that has a lot of ryegrass. You can see the matting caused by the dead vegetation, the mowed vegetation. This is some of the desired vegetation we have to establish: Bermuda grass, green sprangle top, sand love grass. These are all native grasses, as well as wildflowers, that is really a necessity on Texas roadsides as far as the public is concerned. We experimented with a dwarf ryegrass and an early maturing ryegrass. Currently, dwarf is being used. It's Gulf, and we experimented with Pantera, which is another Gulf, to see if it would work better. Early maturing was also used, Hannah Mawasi. And if you look in the picture, the left grass that you see there is the early maturing, and the right one is a Pantera, which is a dwarf. And you can see early maturing follows up its name by maturing faster and senescing quicker. And this photo was taken 4/14. What we're trying to do is just reduce competition from the ryegrass. Sunlight, water, nutrients, and space are all forms of competition. In this photo, we have actually different kind of competition, burr clover, which was a problem on one of our sites. And after hearing a past speech, maybe we don't have as big of a problem as we think we do. This is also the type of grid we use. It's a 10x10 grid, and we would randomly select 10 squares within the grid to count plant species. We're reducing competition by possibly finding other ryegrass cultivars that are less competitive, different seeding rates. We used a 50% and 100%. I'll get to that here in a second. And then we wanted to know if mowing played a role with these ryegrasses in establishing the desired grasses. And by mowing, I'm talking about one mowing per year on the ryegrass, because it's not economically feasible for the Department of Transportation to go out there and mow it once a week like normal turf is mowed. And here are our objectives again, to determine if mowing plays a role and to determine the best rate and cultivar of ryegrass. Plots were set up in four locations across Texas for different climatic reasons as well as soil types. There's a pretty wide area coverage, and with this said, while we have Texas up, Texas was in severe drought this summer. So we had ryegrass germination in the fall, and it carried over, and the ryegrass grew well. But by the time it was time for our perennial grasses and wildflowers to germinate, there wasn't much moisture in the soil, which caused very low populations of our desired species. The plots were seeded with the three types we talked about at 50% and 100% rates. The rates are coming on the next slide. And the wildflowers and perennial grasses were seeded at 100% of their designated rates, which were around 20 pounds per acre, I believe. Here's a picture of the plots. They were 2x4 meter plots. And once we were to a mowing phase, we mowed half that, so the plots were split into 2x2 meter plots. The annual ryegrass was seeded at rates based on 24 pounds per acre. For turf guys, that's about 0.55 pounds per 1,000 square feet, so that's a forage rate. It's a very low rate. The plots were monitored monthly by Council on Species. We counted the height of the ryegrass as well as the health. Plots were split and mowed at 6 inches in early spring, and 6 inches is the height that a flail mower used for road size is going to mow at. And also, we planned the mowing time so that we were not mowing any of the wildflowers. That would be cause a discrepancy to the public if we were out there mowing bluebonnets. Here's a picture of the ryegrass, the plot split into mowed sections. The white seed heads that you see in some of those plots are the early maturing, so you can see that it's already setting seed and getting ready to perish. This photo was taken on 3/17. If we go to the next slide, less than a month later, the ryegrass is senescing out. The black box shows the ryegrass on the right that wasn't mowed and the ryegrass on the left. One problem that we saw with mowing was it delayed the senescence by up to 2 weeks, causing it to be competitive with the desired grasses. So that's less than 1 month from the previous picture. Our results, the mowing of the ryegrass delayed the senescence, and in the plots that had moisture still at the time of mowing, within a week and a half, most of the ryegrass was back up to the same height as the non-mowed. So mowing did not prove to be effective. And also, I was assuming that we would see differences in density after the mowing, but no differences in density were seen. On the x-axis, we have dates of our data collections, and on the y, we have mean rye plants per tenth of a square meter. And the lowest blue line on the graph is our early maturing at a 50% rate, and it was the most effective at allowing wildflowers and perennial grasses to germinate. The highest one is a Pantera at 100% rate, which is 24 pounds per acre, and it was way too competitive, and we had no weeds even in those plots. It was so thick. Mowing proved to have a negative effect, prolonging the senescence of the ryegrass, and we concluded that the 50% rate of the early maturing is the best for establishing wildflowers and the desired vegetation on the roadsides. Because this was year one, we have another year two. We'll also hopefully not have as bad of a drought. And we're going to use early maturing more than the Pantera because of the aggressiveness of the Pantera. And our previous plots will be determined to see if they reseed themselves, to see if they reseed themselves more aggressively, or to see if they start to die out, which is what we want, to eventually eliminate themselves from the population. From the ecosystem, I'm sorry. Any questions?
Why do you think mowing delayed senescence?
The question was, why do you think mowing delayed senescence? The plant can conserve its resources. It has to provide less water to the plant, and it has deeper roots at the time. If there was a normal year, we would have hoped to see more wildflowers germinate as well as the perennial grasses. We had common Bermuda out there, and we had no germination of common Bermuda, which is pretty unusual. As far as some of the wildflowers, in a year like this, they're programmed to germinate when it's good conditions. If there's bad conditions, they want to save themselves for a better day. And
never mind. What were the soil conditions for your sites? Was it good topsoil type material? I'm concerned that there'd be huge differences between the roadside cut versus your sites and differences in your
Yes, the question was, were there any difference in soil types and was it adequate soil? We did not add any fertility. The soil conditions were vary depending on site, and that's how we kind of noticed the crossroad size as well. It varies depending on what fill you get. But overall, there was low fertility, and this would have mimicked the roadside fairly well, not counting the slope. We did not take slope into consideration.
Other questions for Tanner? Okay, we do have some time now if there are folks with... Thanks very much, Tanner. Mm-hmm. We do...